Once, as he was standing on the edge of the piling, staring down into the thick brown water, he was sure something large passed underneath, setting up a sullen rippling on the surface. Christy had stopped in front of a thick square post with the number 25 deeply etched into its sloping top. At its base was a black plastic box.
What's this?
Looks like a small trans. JB, what do you reckon?
Could be. Anti-personnel, maybe. Pick up intruders by the gateway. Fire gas? Looks like it's well iced by now.
Doc stopped to peer at it, running his gnarled fingers over the carved numbers.
Upon my soul, but this rings a far-off and tiny bell in some back room. I believe... No, it eludes me, I fear.
The next two posts along the causeway had rotted away to mere stumps. At a curve in the trail, many of the logs had collapsed into the murky swamp below, and they had to leap the gap. Doc surprised everyone by leaping across like a startled gazelle, but Lori found it harder. She eventually removed her high boots and threw them across first, and then jumped with little difficulty. Finn slipped on landing and opened a small cut on his hand. He bent over to wash it in the swamp.
Water's warm. Warm and salty.
Not that far from the sea, only a few miles from the Gulf of Mexico. A few years back, they had vicious acid rainstorms here. Strip a man to his bones in a few minutes if you got caught in one. Seems calmer now.
Them clouds up yonder is gathering.
Hennings pointed with the muzzle of his gray HK-54A submachine gun. The sky was blackening, the violet becoming a deep royal purple. The sun ducked and dove behind the clouds, sending shadows racing across the water.
Best move faster.
Passing more wooden posts, Ryan automatically noticed the numbers. They stopped at a post numbered 18.
You are approaching the end of the Audubon self-guiding nature trail.
The disembodied voice was so sudden and shocking that Ryan slipped and came within an ace of tumbling head over heels into the turgid slime.
Remember, the planks may be slippery, so use the handrails and ropes where provided. Children should hold the hand of an adult.
I'll be goddamn.
In the basin directly in front of you are thousands of tiny green turtles. If you see or hear something slithering in the water, then it just might be old brother alligator. But they have been carefully selected to prevent them growing too big, so don't be frightened.
Activated by a low-intense beam. Works like a basic grin trap.
100 years old and still working.
As the seven continued to walk along the wooden causeway, they passed several of the stumps, but only a couple of them were working.
Wandering along the Audubon self-guiding nature trail, most visitors will have, even in this vast solitude of mud and water, a sense of kinship and friendliness with the environment.
Like a hole in the fucking head.
Finnegan slapped angrily at one of the insects that had settled on his neck for its afternoon fix of fresh blood.
Remember, no picking or taking, please. The delicate ecostructure can be easily damaged by the careless hand of man. Some creatures here are real messy housekeepers, so watch where you step.
Charming.
They walked on in silence until Hennings pointed ahead with the muzzle of his blaster.
Looks like dry land.
The cathedral of towering trees that surrounded them was thinning out a little, occasionally letting the sun dart through, creating pools of brightness all over the tangled roots of the mangroves. They spotted several large birds swooping among the upper branches. Ryan had never seen creatures like some of these, brown-feathered birds with great leathery bills that hung like sagging shopping bags. JB leaned out over the side and shaded his eyes with his hand, peering into the clouded depths of the water.
How deep do you figure this swamp, Doc?
I wouldn't be surprised to find them technically bottomless. The water will grow thicker as you go deeper, muddier, until muddy water becomes watery mud, then thicker mud, slimy and clinging, perhaps 100 feet or more before you reach anything that could be regarded as solid.
Look, another speaking tree.
Must be the last one we'll see. It's number one. Go up to it, Lori. See if this one works.
Wonder is to begin to understand. Welcome to the Audubon Self-Guiding Nature Trail. The leaflet you are holding will help you to appreciate the wonders of this part of the Atchafalaya Swamp, the largest natural swamp in the entire country.
Kind of strange listening to a voice from the past like this, even if it is going all wrong.
If you finish with it, we're place it for the use of those who will come after. Help to preserve this vital part of our living heritage so that they, by the great-great-great-grandchildren of us all, 100 years in the unguessable future.
Unguessable. Son of a bitch sure got that right.
Finnegan sat down on the edge of the causeway, less than 20 paces from the murky edge of dry land. He leaned over the side, trailing his hand in the warm, salty water, straining to hear if the voice on the tape would continue. Above them, the sun had disappeared once more, behind the gathering clouds.
Storm's building.
Ryan Carter walked 12 paces, then stopped where the last logs of the walkway were rotting and settling into the crusted mud of the shore. Tiny orange crabs scuttled and darted among the jumbled debris. Near the pier, a metal can bobbed on a sullen swell, still bearing the recognizable words, Miller Lite. Ryan had seen dozens like it before. They had been containers for beer or sugary drinks that had foamed and fizzed when opened. He'd seen pictures in old magazines and redoubts.
The Audubon Trail is controlled by the National Parks Movement. Remember, man in harmony with his environment.
Man in harmony with...
Oh, shit!
Suddenly, an enormous alligator came bursting from the stinking ooze, jaws gaping open wide enough to swallow a buffalo. With rows of sharp, triangular teeth, the predator raked the air as it thrust itself at Finn. He threw himself back on the moss-stained planks, rolling to try to get away from the gargantuan reptile. Everyone was startled by the eruption of the monster from the swamp. Some reacted more quickly than others. Doc struggled to drag out his 19th century pistol, but Lori jerked out her pop gun. Christy and the armorer were equally fast in readying their blasters, with Hennings a split moment faster to try to save his friend's life. Ryan, with his H&K G12, was first and quickest of all. As Ryan spun around, finger already dropping to the pistol grip trigger, the alligator was less than 10 yards away from him, and Finnegan was desperately scrabbling away from the yawning chasm of its jaws. Muddy water streamed off the horny ridges along its spine, and its tiny hooded eyes stared unblinkingly at its potential victim. Ryan braced himself against the recoil, firing from the hip against the advice of all the approved manuals. He'd owned the oddly shaped blaster for only a few days, and still found it odd not to be surrounded by spent cases, pinging all about his feet. But the nitrocellulose caseless cartridges were all used up in discharging the 4.7mm bullets. The first triple burst ripped into the edge of the sodden wood, a hand's breadth from the monster's snout. Wooden splinters exploded, showing white beneath the surface. The next four bursts all caught the meaty alligator, raking it from the end of its jaw along the side of its questing head into the light-colored belly with its softer armor. Blood spouted over Finnegan, soaking his face and chest. Shards of jagged bone were torn from the creature's savage teeth, pattering into the water. One of its eyes disappeared, the whole cavern of the socket disintegrating under the high-velocity fire from Ryan's weapon. The reptile was kicked back into the water, off the edge of the causeway, its claws tearing away at the wood. Propelled at an extreme velocity, the rounds punched into the target with fearsome force. There was no need for anybody else to fire. More than 12 bullets had ripped the alligator apart, sending it flailing and thrashing, throwing up a great pink spray that darkened to crimson, covering its death throes. Hennings helped Finnegan to his feet, and they stood on the edge of the torn planks, staring as the monster passed from life. Finnegan wiped the mutie's blood from his face and neck. The others, including Ryan, with his fingers